Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode. I hope you've had an amazing week. And as always, you know me, I'm super excited, jumping out of my skin about this conversation I'm going to share with you with someone that I met professionally through a friend that has now also become a friend. His name is Larry Kaufman, and he's on here to talk about just his whole ethos, his way of being, his way of showing up in the world. And he wrote a book about how he is and what he does that's made him so successful and authentic. And it's called The NCG Factor. Okay. It's called A Formula for Building Life-Changing Relationships from College to Dating to Relationships to Retirement. So I added a little bit to your title, Larry. So I want to bring you on. So thank you for being with us today. We're so excited to have you.
I am excited to be here, Bella. Thank you so much.
So Larry is a senior executive. He's super smart. He was introduced to me by my friend Megan. And to say that Larry leaves you with this conversation, I didn't know when he and I would connect. My friend Megan just said, he's a great connector. I think you'll enjoy your conversation. And I thought, okay, well, I love connecting with people. And I left the conversation going, wow, what a thorough and authentic gentleman who asked me, what can I do to help you, Bella? And normally, I'm the helper, I'm the giver, look what I do for work. So to have somebody ask me that was so rare and so memorable. And since that time, Larry wrote this book. So Larry, tell us, your book is a bestseller on Amazon. You have a story as to how you became the NCG master. Tell me what inspired you to do this and what inspired you to write the book. So just basically tell us your story.
So my story is, I wasn't always this giving, connected person and helping others. And so if you said that title, I know you worked at the dating component.
I always do that.
No, I appreciate that. And that is a part of it too. And so I started out thinking I'd write something to help kids in college, because when I go back to my college days, I wasn't a giving guy. I was a guy that liked to party and have fun. I wasn't helping others. I couldn't tutor anybody. It would be tutoring them on things that wouldn't help them in life. So I thought, if I can go back in time, we always talk about that. We go back to our younger self. Well, what would we do? What could we do? So I wrote this book thinking I could help other kids enter college. And that would be for you. It could be for others that are mid-career later in life, all the way to retirement. And so the inspiration was wanting to kind of take what I learned and share with others. And then it seemed to spread beyond, you know, college. And then I was thinking, I'll write it. And I kept saying I was going to write it. You know, we procrastinate. We say we're going to do something, we don't do it. Right. My wife got sick of hearing me say that all the time. And I was investing in these startups that have gone absolutely nowhere. And my wife one day said, stop sinking money into these startups that go nowhere. And she said, we should invest in you. And I thought that was really nice. Said, write that goddamn book.
Absolutely.
So I'm just telling you verbatim, that's what she said.
I love that. And I love your wife already. And we're going to come back to how you met your wife. But tell us in simple terms, what is the NCG factor?
So as you alluded to, it's this formula for building these life-changing relationships. So what I like to talk about is how to be a giver, how to be a connector and help other people. And I kind of redefine networking. So a lot of us just show up to events and one-to-one meetings, and it's not really as meaningful as it could and should be. It's kind of going through the motions, and you know, you go to an event and you're passing out cards and collecting them, and you know, and then tossing a bunch out. I don't like that, but love Bella, but hate that person, hate that person. So I redefined how we network, you know, kind of more authentically, and how we become givers, because there are a lot of people work really hard, putting a lot of hours. And I find so many that are not philanthropic. They're not giving to a charity or their time, their expertise. It's not all about money. And then also about becoming a connector, which not everyone thinks about that. So I want to help people understand the power behind being that connector, that giver, and networking in a very different way.
So how can we be better connectors, right? Life, we know that our happiness as human beings, as evidenced by the Harvard Grant study and so many other research studies, is our happiness as human beings comes down to our relationships and the quality and the depth of our relationships. How do we become better connectors?
Well, thanks for asking. And you are the expert on relationships. But I think, you know, given where we're at and going through a pandemic, I think it's been a different type of world today that we are more compassionate. And being that we're in a different world and we're more compassionate, we have more time because we're virtual more so than we ever have been. And we have more time in our calendars. To become a better connector, you have to become a better listener. It ties to relationships. And a lot of people don't like to ask questions. They like to, as I put in my book, if you remember reading this, people like to show up and throw up. and actually a neighbor who's divorced went on a date and said, you know, good looking gentleman, very nice. And we spent hours together where he talked all about himself. And it could have been a connection, a great connection. Didn't ask anything about her. And this happens in business, and it happens in our personal relationships too.
It happens in dating every day to my clients. And to your point, women complain all the time. Their number one complaint about men is, he didn't ask me one question about myself. And this isn't just, you know, titans of industry or people you might say, well, that person's maybe more C-suite, narcissistic, self-absorbed. This runs the gamut. And women, it's their number one complaint. So when we coach men, it's like my tidbit, I love show up and throw up. It's if you've heard your own voice for more than 5 minutes, it's time to give the other person a turn.
Really is. And, you know, and you ask, how do you become a better connector? Well, it's asking really good questions and learning about the other person. And even in business, I'm learning about people personally and professionally. We caught up before our podcast today talking about our families. And when you learn something about someone's family, something that's happening in their world, something that impacted them from the pandemic, what have you, the more that you learn, the more that you can find a way to be a connector. And that's how I've become a connector professionally, and I've helped people in their personal lives too with many different things. So it's asking good questions, but it's listening. And this transcends into business and personal. I teach my teams this, that you got to learn about people. People are so eager in business to just talk all about what they do. I had a call with an executive, a CEO in New Jersey. It was virtual, and we had a great conversation. And he was upset that I asked so much about him. He said, we have to have a second conversation again, because you were asking all about me. And normally the tables are turned where I'm inquiring about the other person. But today you threw me off guard where you're asking all about me and learning all about me. And we have to have another conversation. I want to learn about you.
Wow. And how did he feel about that?
Well, I think he felt good. It was nice that he was able to share. And he's really, you know, been through a lot in his world. And we got very personal. And he shared a lot with me. And he said, he shared some personal things with me in the first meeting and the second meeting. And he just said, because of the way that I got to know him and it put him at ease. And he shared things that he rarely ever shares with anybody. And I barely know him, but I like to get to know people. And that's how you foster and build relationships in your personal life, in your marriage, when you're dating, and from a business standpoint.
And you walk in, Larry, to every interaction with that. I want to listen and I want to get to know this person, right? And that guides you. And this might be a strange question. I kind of think it's kind of like people, everybody thinks they're a good driver. Everybody thinks they're a good listener. Is there like, how do you know that you're actually a good listener and that you're listening to a person in the way they want to be heard?
I think you're a good listener. And I tell this to folks in on my team, people in sales too. If you ask good questions and you hear about it, and then you feedback how you could help them with things that they shared with you, you're a good listener, right? Because you're not just saying, here's what we do. You're saying, Bella, based upon what you said in your business and how you help people, you know, build relationships, this is how we could help you. I know I'm a good listener because I've heard something and you said, your daughter's at this university doing this, and hey, I could be helpful if she'd like to do that. Well, you're going to be attentive because I fed back something you shared with me. So I know I'm a good listener because I take copious notes when I talk to people, but I'm listening and I'm feeding it back to them, what they shared with me. And people are more likely to listen to you on a date or in business if you take what they shared with you and share it back in some manner, whether it's a story or just something you heard, or, oh, when you said that, I did this years ago, or I could help you with that.
I love that because it's not just you, and I don't even know if you were aware that you did this, but you listen with the intention to give. So not only are you hearing people, but you're hearing for an intention of how can I be of service to you, right? And how lovely is that? And how many of us do not walk into interactions with that, right? We're so tired of being taken from and being wrung out by people that we walk into interactions with our guard up.
We do. I think if we walk into a meeting with someone and we're expecting something in return, we want business, something out of it, that's the wrong way to approach it. And yes, I know, like I have a team that needs to bring in business or I'm out of a job, but but I think if we think about the other person first and get to know them, we build a deeper relationship and it will come. And it's amazing when I take the approach to learn about people and I hit them personally, and I'm real about that, I want to. And all of a sudden they're like, well, Larry, tell me again what you do. You know what? We have a need for what you do. But if, this is my quote, and I share this in the speaking engagements I have. If you lead with yourself, you will leave with yourself.
Oh, my God.
I know you're writing it down.
I saw that on your business dating post that I loved a few weeks ago, right? If you lead with yourself, you will leave with yourself. I mean, from a dating perspective, from a business perspective, how brilliant is that? And it's so true. When you go in and you listen with empathy, you listen to really understand this person, where they're coming from, the road that they've walked, and you listen with the purpose of helping them, that's fantastic. And now how we can see how this could work in the professional world, right? You meet someone from networking purposes. Okay, you and I meet. Okay, Larry, how can I help you? And you might think, okay, Bella, you know, I've looked through your LinkedIn network and maybe you could connect me with these five people, right? Now, on a date, is this a mindset that we could come in with? And how have you seen this play out? I know you've got some great stories, even in the dating world.
Well, I think it's, you can use it on a date, right? And you could use it to get a date, right? So I am a connector professionally and personally. Now, I can't speak to being on a date because I'm married. So that we have to go back in time. But on a date, whether maybe it's going south, you know, you could still foster relationship. People are interesting. You never know. You may go on a date and it's not a love connection, but that becomes a great relationship or friend. And so take that opportunity to ask good questions and learn. You never know. That person you want to date with is like, you know what? I know this isn't a love connection, but my roommate is, based on what you told me today, you know, I think you may be a good fit for my roommate. But if you're leading with yourself, you're leaving with yourself, you're not having that opportunity. And, you know, for myself, I like asking really good questions about people personally and professionally, because I may learn that they're divorced recently or, you know, 3 years and they have been on a date. And so I'm asking questions. And you would think like I'm going to lean towards the business side, but I'm going towards the personal side. Tell me more. So you haven't been on a date in 3 years. You have no significant other. Well, how are you doing? How is it post-pandemic to date? Oh, it's brutal. I just listened to Bella's podcast, though, so I got some good tips.
But it's not so brutal. You guys, peak dating season's coming up.
It is. But you know what? You got to use all types of, you know, methods and relationships to help you. So I like learning about people professionally and personally because I like connecting them, you know, to things that they may need in the professional world, but I may make some connections in their personal world the better I get to know them.
I love that. Now, a scenario keeps popping into my mind. So I'm gonna ask your opinion on this as the NCG guru, as well as a man. If a woman is on a date with a man who seems like, maybe he's not, but in this conversation, he seems like he's a taker because she's asking the questions and he is probably nervous and he's just trying to impress her. So he's talking. How does she respectfully get him to ask her some questions? And so I'll tell my clients, just say, oh my goodness, that's so interesting, Larry. That reminds me of a time where I blah, blah, blah. And sometimes they'll say, I did that. And then he brought it right back to himself again. So is there a way to put these conversations back on track? Or what's your experience around this?
So I'll tell you, and it is interesting. And some people are takers, have to be open that maybe they're not truly takers. Like you said, maybe they're nervous or someone has to show them the pathway. I will tell you, I've had some direct conversations. Some people are takers and you're not going to convert them. And so it's kind of that red flag. And so at times I've said, you know, Bella, you're really interesting. I've learned a hell of a lot today. Thanks for all that sharing. But I was curious, you don't seem to know a lot about me. And I was wondering if you'd like to know more about me. And, you know, because it's a way of bringing it back. Now, at that point, if you go, oh, no, Larry, we're all good. I'm glad you learned a lot about me because I'm much more interesting than you. You know, we're good. I think it's a good test to see, do they bring it? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so nervous. And maybe that will turn things around, or you're going to find out this is probably a bad connection. This person just is about themselves. Big ego, you know, just not probably the right match. And so I think in business and in your personal life, there's nothing wrong with kind of calling them out in a nice way. Hey, some great stuff I learned about you today, Bella. I was curious, would you like to know anything about me? Because I think I'm pretty interesting too. You could kind of make it like a joke.
Right. You can make it a little lighthearted.
Yeah.
I really love how you've frame that. And it's positive. It's not antagonistic. It doesn't come from a place of defense. And it still comes from a place of social generosity, right? Like, God, Larry, I've enjoyed all of this. I know so much about you for, you know, how you created the NCG method until, you know, what you hope your grandkids are named, you know, or, you know, I'd love to tell you more about me. Is that of interest to you? That's such a great way to and it might be embarrassing for the person, but I think also really appreciate your grace.
Well, but then you'll know who they are. And I did do that with a gentleman on the East Coast. I called him out very nicely. And I said, hey, you know, you really shared a lot with me today. I really learned a lot. Very impressive how you made a career shift. If I say what he did, everyone would, you know, you'd probably know or people know him. So I'm not going to do that. And so I kind of called him out and I said, you know, honestly, you really today, you know, you don't know a lot about me. I know a lot about you, but you don't know if I'm married, if I have kids, and even what I do for a living. And he said, you know, you're right. And that was about it. He didn't go down the path, didn't ask. And it was really kind of awkward. And I could tell he wasn't going there. And then he did a follow-up email requesting some introductions and not even a, you know, I reflected on our conversation. Thanks for sharing that. I'm so sorry. I'd love to learn more. And I just knew taker and you can't get him there. He wasn't getting it. And I'm sure a lot of folks on dates have met that person. And there's nothing wrong with calling it out because maybe they're nervous. Or you're going to flush out that they really are that taker, self-centered, and you're just not going to get them to move to your direction. And there's nothing wrong with that. Find it out early rather than later, unless you like that type of person. I don't.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like my clients dating that kind of person because that's what they've usually come from, right? Givers have a magnetic force in the dating world to takers. Right. And it is a very dysfunctional dance. So I want a giver to be with the giver. And so unfortunately, a lot of my clients that are givers, you know who you are, or my listeners, sometimes we don't even know what a taker looks like because that's all we've known.
That's good.
And that's what we do is like, I think that's a taker, but I love the script. I love calling people out on it in a gentle way, which becomes a fork in the road test. How is that person going to react? Are they going to say, oh my gosh, silly me. I would love to learn more about you. Thank you for bringing that up, right? That's a person that we can give a hall pass to. But if it's the person like you just talked to, the person where you told the guy and the dude just looked at you and was like, yeah, and then had the audacity to not ask you, not schedule a follow-up conversation like, wow, I would really love this to be the Larry Show this time and hear from you. And by the way, could you connect me to these five people? Are you kidding? Right? That's your litmus test, right? People show us who they are. It's up to us to believe them.
Yeah, it's scary. I was meeting with a gentleman years ago and I was having a heart issue. And I could feel I was going into AFib. My heart was just beating very fast. And I know when I go into this. And I told this gentleman who was showing up and throwing up, and I interrupted him, said, hey, just so you know, right now I could feel it. I'm in AFib. I'm going to probably need to go to the hospital. Do you want to continue the meeting, you know, or would you like me to leave and go to the hospital? So if you're okay with it, we can continue. He did. So I continued because I've been through this before, but I never talked to him again because I said, okay, I'll finish this meeting with him. It was another 15, 20 minutes. But if it was the tables were turned, I would say, oh my God, can I drive you to the hospital?
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I did go to the hospital after. I made it. I'm okay. But, you know, that's the extreme. But there are people like that out there that just want to hear themselves and don't want to learn about the other person. And it continually happens in the business world, when I'm just in a general business meeting with people in career transition, and probably people who are single, you know, or divorced, or, and, you know, challenged. And, but I think if someone kind of redirects that conversation, the people that are coachable are going to come around.
Yeah. And they may just not be aware of it. And they may just know, gosh, I never get the second and the third date. Right. And now somebody brave enough has said to you, hey, you know what? I know a lot about you. Would you like to know about me? And it's very different than saying, you haven't asked me any questions. You don't know anything about me, right? It's, I love how you've said that. I think that that's a really, really great and powerful
nicer way
in the dating world. Absolutely. And it's what we call being socially generous. How do you put more love into the world? How do you show up in a better way? And, you know, on dates, we're always telling our clients, look for what's good. Look for three things that you liked about this person, even if it wasn't a love connection, because when you head into this date, this connection with a positive mindset, if you know Bella or Lindsay or Eileen, your dating coaches are going to say, tell me three things that you liked about this person. You automatically go into what's good about this person. So it turns that maybe defensive posture into, well, I've got to report back to my dating coaches about three things I liked about this person. So it just puts people into a positive mindset. And I think that your NCG factor is talking about that. So if we look at this, you know, from a dating or a business standpoint, N is networking, C is connecting, G is growing. So giving is growing.
It is good recovery.
Exactly. So we want to give, right? And that's the thing. So we go into our interactions positively, looking for what's good, listening, and having the intention to give, right? And that give doesn't mean you're going to go home with somebody. So don't misinterpret me. If the ask is, hey, do you want to come up to my place? The answer could be no, but how about we have another date next Tuesday?
Yeah. There you go.
Right. So, and the connecting, you know, just to kind of loop it back, is asking the right questions and being genuinely interested in this person. Now, you and I talked a little bit about this as we were prepping for this. So one of the big complaints, you know, let me reframe this positively. Most people's ideal way of meeting their potential mate is through a common connection or organically. And they'll complain all the time. No one sets me up on dates. Nobody, they're all like, oh, you're amazing. If you were single, I'd be like, oh, Larry, you're amazing. I don't know anybody as amazing as you are. And then they go about their merry way. Do you have any tips for singles that want to look at their networks and connect with people to connect and give, but also the get for them could be getting set up on dates? Like, tell us about this.
Well, you know, the question I would have for your single audience would be, how many folks in your single audience are meeting with people they know are connectors?
Right. Right.
Some people put it on their LinkedIn profile, their Facebook, other profiles and social media. So if you know they're a connector already, that could be a good person to know. Now, they may be a connector more in business, but, you know, I learn about people in my meetings. And I, like I said, I get to know them personally and professionally. So tell me about your family. Do you have a family? You know, well, I have a mom and a dad. No. More direct. Are you in a relationship? Do you have kids? Oh, no, I'm single or I'm divorced. Great. Are you, you know, close to getting remarried? Are you on the dating circuit? How's that going post COVID? And, oh, yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble. Well, what's your profile? What do you look for? They're like, what? I'm like, hey, look, I'm a connector. I put people together, you know, make business connections, but also personal. I've gotten a couple married and, you know, put people together, fall in love, or if people just want something more casual, I've done it all, right? So what are you looking for? And so I get their profile and what do you like? You tell me about height, age range. You know, do they have to be in the city? You know, because you're in the city, or you'll deal with a suburban person, or you want an out of state or out of country, even better, right? So I will get some of those specs and I'll think about my network. And it's funny, like I've tried to put some people together and they get busy, or COVID's gotten in the way. Oh yeah, we were going to connect and I caught COVID. And so I got to reconnect them. It's like, well, I got dysfunctional people I'm trying to connect that want to date and just can't get together.
Or they really don't want to date. And that's a whole nother.
Or they don't, but your single population, they need to be more open when meeting with people. So, because, you know, we say, oh, you get a significant other, you know, I'm dating, you know, I'm having trouble finding the right person.
Yeah.
I notice you're a connector, Larry. So just keep that in mind, but don't be so timid. Ask, hey, do you know anyone? Could you help me if I gave you sort of what I'm looking for? Yeah, I love connecting people. But I ask, some people don't go to the lengths that I do. But your single audience, if they don't share it, they'll never know. But if they start opening up and dropping those hints, but they know that person they're meeting with is a connector, they may be successful in getting connected, you know, in that way.
No, that's so true. And for the record, tell us about your LinkedIn prowess. How many LinkedIn connections do you have? It's like off the grid.
Well, I have just under 30,000.
30,000 LinkedIn connections. You guys, that's like a small suburb. Okay. So this guy's walking his walk. He's talking his talk and accepts LinkedIn. So I'm sure you'll get a lot of LinkedIn requests from listeners from this podcast, and I'm sure you'll accept any and all connections as you always do.
If they reference Bella.
Oh, so y'all reference me and say, I listen to the podcast, Larry, and I'm single and I'm looking for a blah, blah, blah. Just kidding. And then remember, if you do link in with him, get to know him. What do you have to give as well? Right? This is not just to get, you want to be a giver as well. So, but what Larry's saying is something Lindsay, Eileen, and I talk to our clients about when they get, you know, oh, I don't want to online date anymore. It's like, okay, let's look through your networks. Let's make a list of everybody that you've known. And I have done this with people. Make a list of every person that you know from the time you were in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, grad school, first job, second job, third job, all the people that are in your network. And, you know, for some people that might be 50 people, for some people, they might be able to delineate 500 people, right? It's like, okay, now what do I do? Well, look for the people in that love to connect people. They're those people. Maybe they're on a lot of boards. They just love putting people together. And we all know who those people in our networks are. And we call them super connectors. Who are the super connectors in your network? And do that shake out of your network, right? And we've had people fill out charts, like who are those people? And then put together what I call a personal board of directors. And let's say I was a single person. And I said, okay, I'm looking at all my people. And I'd say, wow, Larry Kaufman would definitely be considered a super connector. So I might call you up and say, Larry, can I take you to lunch? And you'd say, sure. Okay. So we'd go to lunch and I'd say, listen, I'm killing it in my professional life, but I really want to focus on my personal life. And I've gone through my network and I want you to know that you're one of the people that I respect most. You're always so giving and you connect people. And I would like to nominate you to be on Team Bella. So you get to officially, like, keep me in mind if you think you'd find any eligible single guys that would be good for me. And so connecting with you has now said, wow. And I tell my clients, do it in this way. Find your people and then tell them why they're amazing and why you're putting them on your personal board of directors. Everybody wants to be chosen and nominated for something. So they've had, the ones that have deployed this have had success doing it. And if not, it's just fun because you get to reconnect with connections and you don't know where those connections could take you.
I love that approach. I like what you're doing. And I can equate it to people in transition. And in my book, I talk about inner circle and outer circles. So we're inner circle. And, you know, in our inner circles, I'm sure you and I have like a massive inner circle of people we know, like, and trust that would probably do almost anything for us. And that's kind of what you said. And some of those are super connectors or just great people that love you. And then there's that next layer. And so when we're in transition, we reach out to the inner circle and you lay out that profile. Here's what I'm looking for. I'll add another piece to what you're talking about, because you're asking, but are you giving too? So I always say, include in that messaging, hey, you're great. I want you to be on Team Bella, but I also want to, you know, reconnect, have lunch, learn what's going on in your world, how I could be helpful to you. And by the way, you know, we need favors. And I talk about, you know, needing a favor. And so this is a favor. So we're in transition. We go, okay, here's the types of companies, industries, blah, 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 the types of role. Here's the types of men or women or whatever. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm back on the dating circuit and I want to go out with someone that you recommend. You know a lot of people. If anyone comes across anyone like this, this is what I'm looking for. And so you could almost take the career transition messaging into the dating messaging too.
Absolutely. And I'll put one caveat or one addition onto this amazing messaging that Larry's giving us and how to modify that. And you can have your ask, but then also have your give in there. Now, and I've seen this happen where someone will get a setup from another person. Let's say, Larry, you're like, Bella, I had a guy for you. I think you'll like him. He lives in the city, la, la, la.
Your husband will like him.
My husband will like him. And he'll be fine if I go out on a couple of dates with him. He's fine. He's super flexible. Just kidding. So I'm just using myself as the example here. And let's say the date, let's say Larry sets me up on a date. And this guy could be a great friend to Larry. He could be a great resource to Larry. But in the romantic world, he might be kind of a mess, but there's no way for Larry to have known that, right? And those kinds of things happen. And even what I tell our clients is when someone sets you up on a date, even if it's the worst date you've ever been on, send the person a thank you note, like, thank you for thinking of me. I really appreciate it. That person that set you up, even if it's the worst date you've ever been on, they did it from a place of love and they didn't know. You don't have to say it was the best date I've ever been on. And you just want to acknowledge the fact that that person did you a favor. And you never know, maybe they'll keep their eyes open. If they ask you, how did the date go? You can be judicious and the feedback that you give, because you don't want them to say, I'm never setting anybody up again. I know the guy that owns the salon I get my hair cut at, he's so funny. He's like, I don't know how you do what you do for work, Bella, because one day I tried to set up two of my clients and I thought they would really hit it off. And he was really successful and she was really successful and they seemed like they would hit it off. And they had such a terrible date that they both called me spewing venom. And he's like, never again will I set two people up. I'm like, don't do that. Like, those are just two people, but you meet so many people. Don't let that sour you. Those two people shouldn't have done what they did. Bad on them, but good on you for having done it.
That's great advice. And, it can't always be perfect. I know I put together two folks. He liked the woman. The woman said he was nice, good looking, smart, successful. He was too short. And he was taller than she was, but she really wanted him a little taller. But I couldn't fix that. If he was a little taller, they would date. Then I did find her a former Top Gun, literally, Tom Cruise. And they got along. They went out for a while and then moved on, but that was successful. But he was taller. But I got feedback. It's like, okay, no worries. What's the height? So I got better at asking about height. I did meet a woman, and it was interesting when she gave me descriptors what she wanted. So what do you want, you know, in a guy that you'd like to go out with? So I want them to be, you know, over 6 foot, 250, like an income? No, in weight. What do you mean? Said, well, my ex had a six pack. I want someone self-conscious. So they got a little girth to them.
She's looking for a dad bod.
Yeah, she didn't quite phrase it, but yeah, probably like a stocky, tough, but with a little something to hold on to. That was interesting. So, you know, it's interesting, but I've gotten better, so I can do a better job.
Well, look at this, you guys. He's also matchmaking. So now you have a real reason to connect with the esteemed Larry Kaufman. So, I want you to tell us two stories. You said you told me that you helped a CEO, not only that was in transition, but you also helped him to find love. So tell us about that.
So, yeah. So I met a CEO that was in transition. And I said, you know, I met him in a coffee shop. I was with someone else that knew him. I said, you know, we should get together separately, which we did. And we had a great meeting. And I didn't know of any CEO jobs for him, but I kept it in the back of my mind. And a couple of weeks later, I met a founder of a $100 million company that had a business issue. And I thought this guy that I just met could really help him with that issue. Put the guys together, lo and behold, that $100 million founder hired this CEO as president of his company, which grew to $200 million, and there was an exit, and my guy was back in transition. In the midst of that, he went through a divorce, and we became very good friends, and you know, he became a client, friend, et cetera. Well, now he's gone through a divorce, so I feel I got to help him in this time of need to connect with someone of the opposite sex. And I had met an HR executive who was in transition. So CEO and HR, those are good people to network with when they're in transition. But I have intuition, and I thought both of them would get along personally. And so I told each of them they need to get together to network. But I told each of them, I think there's something beyond business between the two of you. So they each knew that going into it. And I found out he didn't want to tell me, but it took him like a year to tell me that they had fallen in love. So I did a good job. So got him a job, found him someone that he fell in love with, and that was good. So it's only by asking and building these deep relationships. So he definitely likes me a lot.
Oh, I love that. Of course, you found him work, you found him an exit, and you found him true love. Like you, he should have a statue of you bronzed in front of his house.
He actually does.
He does. Oh my gosh. Well, we'll have to put that in the show notes. If you have a photo of that, we'll link it. So next to your cute headshot. So, well, tell us about how you met your wife. This is a great story. You shared this with me the very first time that we spoke.
I did. So this year, 2000, because you never know where we're at, but 2022, I celebrated 33 years of marriage. And so I met my wife 34 plus years ago, and we met through a McDonald's drive-thru. Now, I will tell you, I was in the midst back then in the 80s, signing up with a dating service, Bella. I don't know if you remember that, but I was going to sign up for a dating service back then. And we didn't have, I don't think we had computers back then or the internet like we
did. The internet wasn't in existence yet.
It was very manual, but I was about to sign on the dotted line, and I met my wife through the drive-thru, and she was a manager. So she actually wasn't at the window. And so I will tell you, I went through the one time and got my food, and I saw her. It's hard to see her, but, you know, she's a woman in a uniform with glasses. And I don't know if it was the burgundy, you know, polyester and come back again. because there was something there. So like, again, I pulled up at the window because, again, my wife was manager, didn't work at the window, but you could see her. Window said, I heard a call back. Hey, it's the guy. So there was something going on, some communication. So I felt like I was in. So I left, decided I would come back again. I came back one more time. My food was not ready. And so they told me to park. And this McDonald's was by the first original McDonald's in Des Plaines, Illinois. So it was the museum, and this is the functioning. I waited for my food. I wrote down my home number on a business card, and I waited hoping it was to be this woman that would come out and bring me my food. It was her. She did tell me that as a manager, she would never go out and bring out food, and they were so busy, wouldn't have known it was me out there. She came out. I had my card, took my food, gave her my card, and that was it. And all I'll tell you is I never came back again. And about 7 weeks later, I got a call at home, and it was this woman. I never knew her name. And next thing you know is we ended up going out. There's more of the story, but we ended up going out. There was a big age difference of about 5 years. So she was very young. We ended up getting married. We eloped to Vegas about a year later, got married at the Chapel of Love. And she was only 19 when we got married. And wow. We celebrated 33 years this year. So she's a good human being and my inspiration for the book. And, you know, she's been a life changer for me.
Oh, that's amazing. And tell, you know, you've shared so many great things. You know, I think how to be a better dater, right? Do you have any, I think you've given us so many things about being a great listener, being genuinely interested in somebody, right? Being a giver, how can you give back on a date? So even if it's not a love connection, if this person maybe said that they were interested in, you know, in magic tricks, and if you know somebody in your network that is a magician, or you find something at some point that's on a blog, you can send it to this person and say, hey, this made me think of you. What do you think of that?
No, I agree. And that's why, you know, you ask good questions. Right. It may not be a love connection, but you heard something, or your child was looking for an internship. And a lot of us think, like, even with the magician example, do we have a magician in our network? Probably not. But, but somebody we know probably knows somebody.
Yeah.
So you don't know until you go to your network and put it out there and ask. It's like, oh, so if you're connected to Bella's and Larry's and Megan Wessels, you'll have access to people they know. So somewhere they're going to know somebody. And that's where it comes back. So don't always assume it's who you know directly. It's actually that next level, that next level, second degree, that your network knows someone that could help that person on that bad date. Like, it was really a bad date and they're a true taker. Don't feel guilty. You don't have to give.
You know, it reminds me of something that we tell our female clients a lot is, you know, they'll say, okay, I want to get out of my zone and I want to meet people in an organic environment. And let's say they'll go to a wine tasting event. Okay. And they'll sign up for some meetup group. And I will always tell them, listen, in general, women tend to be more comfortable showing up at singles events than single guys are if they don't have a buddy to show up with. So expect everything, set expectations where it's going to be 80% women, maybe 10 to 20% guys. But when you walk in there, I don't want you to roll your eyes and say, oh my God, this is a bust. I want you to walk around the room and meet 5 to 10 women that maybe aren't in your age bracket, but women, every woman in that room is connected to men that she wouldn't or couldn't date. Maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a cousin, maybe it's her boss. You never know. And if you walk in with good intentions and you're socially generous and you're a good listener and you're likable and you're interesting, she'll probably say, well, Who are you looking for? Oh my gosh, you know what? You should go on a date with my brother. This actually happened to a client of mine in New York City. So I gave her this advice. She was going to a house party. I said, just be willing to talk to people and be you and be genuinely interested in them. She starts talking to a woman. So my client was named Jill. She meets a woman named Sarah at this party. And she says, and her and Sarah are talking, and Jill's a therapist. And somehow it comes up in conversation that she's single. And she says, but I've just hired this dating coach in Chicago, and it's fantastic. And her name is Bella, and she's doing this thing with Smart Dating Academy. And so this girl, Sarah, says, a dating coach? Does that even exist? Oh my gosh, I'm super fascinated in this career. Could you connect me with your dating coach, Bella? And she said, oh, absolutely. Bella would totally talk to you about what it's like to do this. And she said, and Jill did such a good job in this conversation. Sarah said, you know what? My brother is an attorney, but he also does stand up on the weekends. I think you should, I kind of think you guys would like each other. And so she got a date out of it as well.
Wow. And did you talk to that woman about being a dating coach?
She became a dating coach for a couple of years, and she had been an executive recruiter, but she has three small kids, and the demands of date coaching are higher than one might think from an hours, just from a what do you need to do standpoint. So I don't think that it ended up being the right career for her, but she loved it for the time that she did it.
That's awesome. Well, I think your advice to folks who are single, the things you shared are spot on. They're fantastic. And they align up nicely with things that, you know, I would consider doing. And I like the fact that you go to some event and it's, you think there's be more men and talking to folks, because you just never know. And you're right. And some may have gone on a date that they just weren't compatible, or maybe that shorter guy. Well, maybe there's a woman who goes, I like short men.
Yeah.
Well, he was great. Let me connect you. So you never know.
You never know. And let me ask you this question. If we're listening to this and going, okay, am I a giver or am I a taker? Are there any red flags that we might be takers?
Well, I think the red flags are, yeah. So some have read my book and said, oh my God, I'm a taker. And it may be that, you know, they see the show up and throw up, that they're really not getting to know people. Some people really don't do it intentionally. And, you know, I had a CEO over $3 billion in revenue at a big company, and she couldn't wait to call me and say, Larry, I was in a meeting and I never would have done this, but I was actively listening. And I told someone in the meeting, hey, I should connect you to so-and-so. And she was so excited because she never thought that way. So it's a different way to think and behave when you meet with people, and to be more focused on that other person. And so I don't think it's that everyone's a taker, but as you start thinking about when you're in meetings, depending on what you do, and it could just be when you're at a party or with neighbors, are you talking all about how great you are and I did this and I did that versus, hey, tell me what's going on in your world and, you know, how's COVID impacted you, and tell me about your family. What's going on with your family? And amazing as you start to ask and listen, but that's how you figure out, are you a taker? I always tell people, you got to self-reflect. Just the hearing the things we talked about today, some people are probably self-reflecting going, oh my God, I think I'm a bit of a taker. I think I got to change my way. So if we hit some people today that are going to shift and change, then that was a big win.
Job well done. So dear listener, I'm going to put a link to the NCG Factor book in the show notes. So make sure if this conversation resonated with you that you buy Larry's book. It's a great read. You can probably read it in an afternoon. And I think it'll be a book that you'll want to read again and again and pass on to your network as part of being a giver. So Larry, thank you so much for giving us of yourself, for giving your time to our listener. And I think that this was such a great conversation, and I'm really inspired. So thank you.
I loved it. Thank you for all that you do. for people today. You're wonderful, and thanks for having me today.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.